the government was very effective at issuing warnings, including warnings from the Fiji's prime minister to urge people to seek shelter. They have over 735 evacuation centers, which were opened in advance of the cyclone's arrival. And as a result of the warning, the preparation, people took shelter, and the losses, at least in terms of loss of life, were far lower than you would ordinarily expect. There's obviously huge damage to infrastructure, houses, roads, and that's going to take a long time to rebuild. It's horrible to think of a disaster as an opportunity as well, but whenever a disaster strikes, there's an opportunity to look at how you reconstruct afterwards and the opportunity to build back better to decrease future disaster risk. And I'm sure the government of Fiji, with support from donors such as the Australian government, New Zealand government in particular, will be looking at that.
I know that you said, and you certainly praised the PM's office, the Prime Minister Bainimarama's implication and personal engagement in the campaign, and that's been the case in previous disasters. Why is it so important that the personal message from politicians and people of profile, high profile, why is it so important that they get involved?
In disasters, the communication is so important. It's not just the technology, for example, sending alerts to cell phones and the like, but there has to be credibility in the communication. And you have leaders in countries, people who are respected, and in Fiji, of course, that's particularly important given the culture, the Fijian culture. That can have a huge impact on how seriously people take warning and how quickly they respond.
Can you tell me about the long-term economic cost of disasters?
Well, these disasters are costing, we estimate, and these are direct costs, something like $300 billion a year globally. And that is a huge underestimate of the cost because we simply don't have data on many disasters in many countries and many parts of countries. In particularly the sort of below-the-radar, smaller-scale disasters, it is still extremely costly. So the challenge of UNISDR's challenge through this international agreement that was reached last year called the Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Reduction, countries around the world signed up to these targets to reduce disaster risk. And that's really our role, to support countries who've signed up to this agreement to reduce disaster risk in a whole variety of ways, not just things that you'd immediately think of, like early warning systems to warn of storms that are approaching, but even in the decisions countries make for their economic development. Are they putting in place building codes? We've just seen this is the five-year anniversary of the Christchurch earthquake. So building codes, is infrastructure being placed in areas that are vulnerable to flood? And governments in their development decisions can actually, if they're not aware of the disaster risk implication, can actually create risk. And therefore, when the disaster hits, the damage, loss of life, loss, economic losses are greatly magnified. So that's really what we focus on.